people in our
All right. Why don't we open up in a word of prayer and we'll get started. All right. Dear Lord, we thank you for this wonderful opportunity that we have to delve into your word and let it help us in our spiritual lives, and pray that we can have open ears and accept what you have to say. Amen. All right. So let's turn in our Bibles to Romans 12, chapter 12, verse 2. Kind of start here. So I kind of thought we'd talk about, so there's just, you know, you read the news and there's just a lot going on in the world, and especially with, you know, my sisters and her husband, there's a lot of changes in our life and a lot of changes in the world around us and a lot of decisions we all have to make, and it's important that we have the right mindset, and so that we can make it through okay, and for all of us too. And so let's start in this verse here, Romans chapter 12, verse 2. So, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." So this verse is talking to us who are saved, and talking about our mind and our thoughts. And so that word conform, so is this duck here, is he conforming?
No.
Conforming means to become like everyone else. And so all these, you know, gray ducks are all like each other, and the Bible tells us not to conform to the world. And it's very easy, it's natural for us to become like the world if you don't put an effort into, we'll see how we can transform ourselves, and that's with the Bible and with Bible study and what we're doing today. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And we all know, I actually don't know who these transformers are. I'm not that big into transformers. I know they have names. I like Maximus or something, but I don't know their names. But anyway, so I watched it once, and I think the yellow one transformed into a really cool car. And so transform means to turn into something different, okay, into something new. So the Bible is encouraging us not to be conformed to the world, but to be transformed into something new. And how is that done? It says by the renewing of your mind, okay? And the Bible has a lot to say about our mind and our thoughts and our heart and things like that, all right? And it's really amazing the way that God created us and that we are able to change. And you can change in an instant, one way or the other. And that's just how God programmed us. And and it's a blessing for all of us that can happen. And so let's go to Colossians chapter 3. Verse 10. Yeah, I'm into these PowerPoints. I put these silly pictures up, and I don't know.
No, right.
Everybody laughs at
it. Because it gives you a visual of sticking your head.
Yeah.
Pictures worth a thousand words.
I learned way better than pictures, with pictures than words. But Colossians chapter 3, verse 10. So, "And have put on the new man, which is renewed." And how is it renewed, this new man? "In knowledge, after the image of him that created him." Okay? And what we're going to go over today is this knowledge that we need to have, that we can renew our minds. And where do we get this knowledge from? It's knowledge from Paul, and it's the knowledge of grace, and it's the knowledge of Christ. And there's things in the Bible that when we know them, it'll help us in our lives. And that's why it's important to be in the Word. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 22. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22-24. That you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. Now verse 23, what's it say? And be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. And so this new creature, this new man, is all about Christ. Okay, is what we're going to see. And it has nothing to do with ourself. Okay? And all the knowledge and the doctrine that we have is about Christ. It looks like there are some people that were peeking their head in. I don't know. Okay? All right, let's go to Romans chapter 6. Verse 17. All right, Romans chapter 6, verse 17. So this verse is going to tell us about the knowledge that we need to know, okay, and how we can apply that and to make that change in our lives that we need. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which has delivered you. And this is how we can let that doctrine work in our lives, is when we obey from the heart the form of doctrine. Okay, doctrine is the words of God in the Bible, and these words are the word of God and their truth. And when you obey them in your heart, that's when we can be renewed in our mind. And so doctrine is very important, and the doctrines of grace that we're going to go over that we can apply to ourselves. Okay? If we go to Titus chapter 2, verse 11. In verse 12. Hello. All right. So if we go to Titus chapter 2, verse 11 and 12, we'll see the type of doctrine that we want to know in our life, okay? So it says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world." See that word "world" there? How that's the same world that Paul was talking about in Romans, and being ye not conformed to this world. And how do we live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world? Well, if we go to verse 11, it talks about the grace of God. It says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men." And what does that grace of God do? It says it teaches us. Okay? So God's grace and the doctrine of God's grace can teach us. And that's what's going to help us not be conformed to the world. And that's what we can transform our minds with, is the doctrines of grace. And this is really important, because it has nothing to do with the law. The law can't change you. It has nothing to do with yourself. You can't change yourself. The only thing that can change you is God, and by His grace. And it's by the doctrine, and it's by that can change you and help you not be conformed to the world. If we go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16, and this is talking about the inward man and how we need to nourish our inward man with doctrines of grace day by day. And it says, "For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day." And see that word "renewed" there? That's the same renewing that God was talking about in the other verses, about renewing your mind and about renewing your inner man. And what's it say? It says day by day. And I know this is Joe. He's was in the Marines. And do you guys ever take a day off training? No. Well, I'm sure every morning when you're in the barracks, you expect that bugle call in the morning, right? So it's day by day. And what if one day you were to wake up and there's no bugle call? You'd be a little thrown off, right? You'd be like, what's going on? Because you're so used to that regiment, right? That day by day training that you have. And that should be an exercise that we have in our own lives of day by day being in the Word of God. And it's not our outward man. So I know you got Sarah was talking in the car about some chia seeds or something. So what were those things?
Yeah.
Chia seeds, which is I don't know much about them, but you know, there's a lot out there about our outward man, things that we could do to. I think we went to the smoothie place yesterday, and they had all these different ingredients that you can put in your smoothie from. I don't know. I think that's fine, and you should do the best you can to take care of yourself, but we need to also focus on the ingredients that we're putting into our inner man and renew that day by day. If we go to 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 13. So that's why Paul he gives these instructions here. He says, till I come, give attendance to what? To reading, exhortation, and to doctrine. And then if we go to verse 16, it says, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them. For in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Okay? So it's that doctrine that's important in our lives. Remember in Romans we read, it's obey from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Okay? And so, till I come, give attendance. So what is, you know, to give attendance to something? You're very, you have a checkbook, and every time you write a check, you're very, at least you should be. I learned my lesson early when I got all screwed up with my checks. And you give attendance to it, right? You are very careful. And we want to be careful in our lives to give attendance to reading.
Diligent and purposeful.
That's right. Diligence and purpose. To exhortation and to doctrine. And that's what these words are designed for, is to design for us to use for the purpose of renewing our mind. All right? And so what, you know, we're going to go through the rest is just kind of setting the picture for the doctrine that we're going to go over that can help us in our life. Okay. So let's real briefly talk about the world. Let's read that verse again. What was our Romans 12, chapter 12, verse 2. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. So, and be not conformed to this world. Okay? So this world that we live in, it's pretty cool for a little bit. There's some cool things about it. But let's read what the Bible says about it. You know, some people are really into traveling, which I love to travel too. I don't do it a lot. I've never really been out of the country, but I've heard there's some cool places out there. But let's go to Galatians chapter 1, verse 4. Who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present, awesome world, great and fun and exciting world. No, what's it say there? Evil world. Evil is a pretty strong word, huh? If you were to have someone that you really, really don't like, and you're like, they're so evil, that's a pretty strong word. And when God is in heaven and he's looking down at the world, and you know, what does he think of it? He says evil. That's kind of like a, you know, he's looking down, and it's because the way he looks at the world is he looks at the heart. And when he looks at man's heart, he sees their rejection of him. And he doesn't look at the things we look at. And that's what he says about the world, is that it's evil.
Yeah. In Genesis 6, when he destroys, it says he looks and that all the intentions of men's heart were evil continuously.
That's exactly right. Evil continuously in Genesis, yeah. That's a great connection there. All right, John 15:18. You could have a whole study just on this. I'm just doing a few verses. Just
yeah, there's a lot of evil.
There is. Yeah. But probably the most evil thing that the world did is crucify the Lord. Remember, he says he came into the world to save sinners, and for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And what did the world do? In John 15:18, if the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. Okay? So the world, for the most part, it hates Christ. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, in whom the God of this world, and is that the thing you want to look at there, is that a big G or a little G on that word? A little G, all right? There's only one big G God. There's a lot of little G gods. And in whom the God, the little G God of this world, who's that? Who's the Satan? That's why I have this. I think that's a hand, or maybe it's a tree. Well, he's got, you know, the world in his evil grip there. And this is the world that the Bible is urging us not to be conformed to.
If you think about it, in the garden, they ate of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil.
Yeah.
And it's only God's prerogative to determine what is good and evil.
Yeah, that's
and man,
true.
And man usurps that place.
Yes, that is a good point.
So it could be a trick.
It could be, yeah. And if you're not careful, you're going to, just naturally, the world's going to suck you in. And it's happening. You know, the world is getting worse. One of the reasons I wanted to talk about this, it's like every time I look at the news, it's just terrible stuff that it seems like it's rapidly progressing. And in our lives, you know, we need to be careful, and or else we're going to go down the drain with those, you know, with the rest of them. And all the little ducks here are swimming in the pond, and we want to get out of the water and make a life for ourselves. You know, that's the cool duck with the cool sunglasses. All right, so now let's apply some of this doctrine. Let's look into the doctrine. And let's look into this mind that we want to renew. So how do we think about ourselves? Okay? And that's kind of a trick question because we'll see. So let's go to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, and we'll read through a couple verses. So we're going to go through a few passages that of doctrine, of grace doctrine, that we can use to renew our minds about how we should think about ourselves. And this story here in Ephesians is the same story of all of us. We all have the same story. And in Ephesians chapter 2, 1 through 10. All right. And you, so he's talking to you who are saved now. Has he quickened? Quickened means to make alive. Who are dead in trespasses and sins. So this very first point here is, you were dead, and now you're alive. Okay, you're alive. All right, verse 2. Wherein, so it's now going to talk about all of our past. Wherein in time past, ye walked according to the course of this world. And see that word world there? That's the same world, that this present evil world that we don't want to be conformed to. According to the prince of the power of the air, that's the god of this world, that small g god, who's Satan, the spirit that now worketh, and the spirit children of disobedience, among whom, so we were with them, among whom also we had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But here comes the big change, okay? And whenever we see the word but in Paul's epistles, it's good news that's coming. So open up your ears and hear what it's about to say. So, but God, who is rich in what?
Mercy.
In mercy. For his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved. So now this is wonderful news about all of us. And how are we saved? By his grace. And it's because of his love that he died for us on the cross. And he was rich in mercy. And verse 6, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So right now, at this very moment, our standing in Christ is that we're raised up together and that we're sitting with him in heavenly places in Christ. Right now, we're sitting with Christ. And that will become an actual present reality for us after we get there. But right now, that's what our position is. That in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Okay? So this doctrine right here is some good doctrine of grace that you can renew your mind with about who you are in this world. You know, there's a lot of things that we try to be, that we can be. We try to define ourselves by what we do, with our job, whatever it may be, with what we're good at, with our skill. And that's normal. But we don't, that's not who we are in Christ. Spiritually, we were dead. And then, but God did what? His mercy and his love. And he died for us. And now what? We're quickened. And we're alive. And we're seated in heavenly places with Christ. And the way that this becomes a reality in our life is when you obey it and believe that doctrine in your heart. Okay? And it will change you. And it can change you right now, this very moment. Let me see why I put some of these pictures. Sometimes I put pictures on here and then forget why I did. So this one, I think we'll get to. This is a gift, of course. You know, God gave us the gift. And, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. And never forget that all that we have in Christ, we didn't deserve. And it was all given to you freely as a gift. Sometimes living in Memphis, I get packages, gifts from Chicago. And it always makes me very happy. And Grace especially likes to send me postcards, which, you know, isn't a big gift, but it's a gift of thoughtfulness and words that I appreciate. And it's just freely given. All I have to do is open my mailbox and take it out. And that's the same gift that we have of God. All right. So let's go to Titus chapter 3. It's kind of a similar passage to what we just read. Titus chapter 3, verse 3. Titus 3, 3 through 7. For we ourselves, so this is going to go over the same type of story that we just read. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after, see that word but again? So things are going to change again for us here. So but after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared. Remember that verse we read where it said, the grace of God that appeareth to all men. So it has appeared now. It's come on the scene. All right? Verse 5. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration. And see that word renewing of the Holy Ghost. So this renewing process that happens has nothing to do with us. It all has to do with the Holy Ghost as we have our faith in the doctrine. Okay? Which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by His grace, we should be made ears according to the hope of eternal life. So this is the same story that we read in Ephesians about the doctrine, about who we are, about who we were. Okay? Verse 3 goes about over who we were. And then that word but again, and what appears, the kindness and love of God. And then it's applied to us. It's not by works, but it's by faith. And it's by faith in the doctrine and the Word of God. And then that's when that renewing of the Holy Ghost can happen in our life. And the fact of the matter is that we are, well, we're going to get to this, completely renewed already. When God looks at us, He sees us as 100% clean and perfect and complete in His Son. There's nothing else we have to do except just actually believe that that is true. And that's the whole essence of what it is. Still not sure why I have these pictures up here. All right, let's go to Colossians chapter 2, verse 10. Yeah, I think I have a verse about that. Colossians chapter 2, verse 10. Colossians 2:10, and ye are complete. So these are just some more verses now about our standing in Christ after we're saved. And ye are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power. To be complete. So Joe had his graduation last week. He's now an officer on the National Guard. And all the guys had different medals and badges on. And depending on your rank and years in service, you get more and more. And I think the highest is like a 5-star general or a 4-star general, which we've never really had a 5-star general or something.
Yeah, 5-star general. Well, we did during World War II.
During World War II. Yes. Right now, there's only 4-star generals. But those guys are kind of the top. And you got the commander-in-chief and so on. And you know, you get all those medals and you reach the top, and if you get all the badges and medals that you can get, you're complete. There's nothing more that you can do. All right? And that's how God views us spiritually, is we are complete. We have complete righteousness, complete forgiveness of sins. We have complete everything in Christ. And it's a matter of just believing that to be so. That will change you. Imagine walking around thinking that you are a child of God and that you are complete. It's going to change your life. It takes the focus off of you, because we can never do it, and puts it onto God, because He can. If we go to verse 13 and 14, and you, so always addressing it straight to you, you could put your name there. And you, if you put your name in your Bible and then someone else finds it, I don't know if that would work good, because then it's not their name. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, see how we were dead, and now what's going to happen? Hath He quickened? And it's always together with Him. It's always because of Christ. Having forgiven you all trespasses. There's not a single sin or trespass that we have done that is not forgiven. And how did this happen? Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to His cross. So the cross is the way that Christ brought this about in our life. And this is the preaching of the cross, about what happened there, how He blotted out all of our sin and took it out of the way, so that He can forgive us and we can be complete in Him. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. Ephesians 1:13, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth. So you hear the word of God, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. So this is just saying, after you hear the gospel of your salvation, and you believe it, what happens to you? It says that you're sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. I think that's why I have the picture of this safe here. So we were walking around Cabela's, or Bass Pro. We have Cabela's in Chicago, but Bass Pro is here. Dare I offend Bass Pro Memphis. But we saw these giant gun safes. And Sarah told me some story of how some kid got accidentally locked in a gun safe. I don't know if that's true or not, but I can see it happening. But, and these cases were gigantic, like the big as that door. And with this really thick, wall around it, and this giant thing you have to spin, like on that show American Ninja Warriors, they have all those obstacles with like things you grab and they spin and stuff. And, you're sealed in there. Okay, those guns, some of those guns are expensive, at they have the Breda gun gallery or whatever, and so there's a $90,000 gun, and you can imagine if you had paid for a gun that much, you're going to keep it in a safe that no one else can get into. So, but that's how we are in Christ. All these things that I just talked to you about, the forgiveness, the righteousness, can't be taken away from you, because that Holy Spirit has sealed us, and we're in a safe, safe and secure in His arms. All right, let's go to Galatians chapter 3, verse 26. So what else do we need to renew our minds about ourselves, about our standing in Christ? For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. All right. So each and every one of us, we're children of God. That's a really cool thing. By faith in Christ Jesus, and that's the key part, is that some people like to say we're all children of God. But that's not true. You only become a child of God, how? By faith in Christ Jesus. Okay? And so when you have that faith, then you're a child of God, and that's a wonderful place to be. And regardless of your physical family, you know, there's a lot of difficult circumstances in families. You have a spiritual family. And if you can overcome any, you know, if you don't have a dad or something happened or a family or a mom or whatnot, you can overcome those physical things that are unfortunate by focusing on the spiritual, about what you have in Christ. And that's how this is designed to work. Is that God can provide for any of your circumstances with the doctrine in His Word. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. All right, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 and 6. Make sure. So blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. So we have all spiritual blessings. There is not a single thing that you could ask for that we don't have. And I think, I couldn't think of a way to symbolize spiritual blessings, but I came to mind with, we have a whole field of blessings of beautiful flowers to pick from. And as far as your eye can see of beautiful flowers, those are the beautiful spiritual blessings that we have. And you can't even realize all the things that you have. And this is actually a real picture of somewhere in China, of different colors, flowers. I just thought that was the coolest picture. And that's like when, you know, when God looks at you and He just lays it all out there for you. He's planted a beautiful field of flowers. And you know, and you can pick them and smell them when you read the Bible. And you can... you know, say, I want to take a sniff of the orange flower today. I want to study about His forgiveness. And then tomorrow we'll be like, oh, those pink flowers, that, you know, those flowers about my, you know, my justification, my righteousness, all those blessings, we can take, you know, a different flower from and enjoy it. And these will all become more evident to us in the ages to come and in heaven. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 6, just a few verses over. To the praise of the glory... well, why don't we just read all the way through from verse 3. So let's go to verse 4. So according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. And this is a wonderful place to be. You know, a lot of people live with guilt, and guilt is a very not a fun thing to live with. And you can be free from that guilt when you realize that in Christ we're holy and without blame. And it's just by believing that fact to be true that you can take advantage of the blessing. In verse 5, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. And there again we see the adoption of children. And that's us, by Jesus Christ, to Himself. And this is the best part here, according to the good pleasure of His will. He wanted to do this. When He first made man, it says that before the foundation of the world, before He even created us, He loved us and prepared this for us. And we mess up, but He's there to help us. And these are all wonderful things. And in verse 6, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. And to be accepted, you know, there's a lot of things that we try to be accepted into. I was watching this show about these biker gangs, okay? So they're called the One Percenters. Like, 1% of biker gangs are violent. like the guys you think about, you know, they're riding around with their, well, a lot of guys have, actually, if you go down to Beale Street on Wednesday night, have you ever done that? To bike night on Wednesday night? And there's the first time I was there, I stumbled upon it. I was getting food or something, and there are all these motorcycles that I was kept hearing going, you know, past me, like tons of them. And I followed them, and they're all lining up on Beale Street in these, you know, and they all had their little jackets on with the names on the back. And, you know, there's a show on TV where to get accepted into one of these violent gangs, it takes like years of harassment that they just, you know, give you demeaning chores to do, and they, you know, beat you up here or there, and they give you mean names and all this stuff. And all to get accepted into that gang. Oh, I mean, the same is true for, you know, lots of things. But here's, what does it say about us here? We're accepted in the Beloved. That's not a better place to be accepted than in Christ. And how did we get there? Just by believing and through Christ. Christ got us there. He's our sponsor. He, you know, to get into different schools, you have to get letters of recommendation. And people have to vouch for you. A lot of times, for jobs, you get a referral from your boss. Well, Christ, you know, it's his resume, and it's his referral, and it's his recommendation that got us to become accepted in the Beloved. Okay, I have some more. Romans chapter 8, verse 31. These are just some more verses about the doctrine that can help us when we apply it to our life. Romans 8:31. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? So to spare something means to kind of save it, kind of spare it from, you know, being damaged or harmed. But what did God do with his son? He spared him not. He offered him up and he sacrificed him. And because of that, all the sacrifice he went through, how can he not freely give us all things? And we do have everything now in him. There's nothing that is lacking spiritually in our life. We go to verse 38 and 39. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. This position we have in Christ is complete, it's final, it's everlasting, and it's we'll never be able to, none of these things shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Let's go to Colossians chapter 3. I think this will be the last verse about this section. Colossians 3:3-4. So for ye are dead, but your life is hid with Christ in God. For in Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. So all these things that we have, nothing to do with ourselves. We are dead, and our life is hid with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Okay? And we try to, a lot of people are, you know, we try to find life in different things in life. We try to find life in our job. We try to find life in the people around us. And there is life there, and that's not bad. But our true life and our spiritual life and our everlasting life is in Christ. And one day, He's going to come back for us. And we shall also appear with Him in glory. And that's just a cool place to be. All right, so moving on. So that was kind of how to think about yourself. And I said it was kind of a trick question because it's really how you think about yourself in Christ. Because like it told us, it said, ye are dead, and it's not about you. It's about Christ. So just a few verses about how to think about your relationships. Because it's not just about us in this world, it's about us and the people around us. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 32. And be ye kind one to another. Where did we see kindness before in our verses? The kindness from God. Remember that verse? It said, but after that, the kindness of God. And now what's it telling us to do? And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. So, all that. So this is grace, and the doctrines that we just went over should be our motivators of how we treat other people. Okay, and it's, a lot of people are nice to other people to get something. Okay. For themselves. If someone's being nice to you, you should be kind of suspicious, right? Because that's usually not the way it works. We should be nice and kind. Why?
Because of our identity in Christ.
That's right.
It's who we are.
Yeah.
And we should live out the identity.
Exactly. Even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. And the same thing is in chapter 5, verse 2, right down the page. And walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling Savior. So the reasoning of why we should walk in love is because of what Christ did for us. And that's how grace teaches us, and the doctrines that we need to know, and then it will change us, and it will change. If you really believe, you know, that Christ loved you and what He did for you, and you're believing in that, it's going to affect how you treat other people. Okay. So, and all this has already been done. Okay, and see the word "hath" forgiven you in the previous verse in 32, and then hath loved us and hath given himself for us. All this has already been done. We don't have to hope that we're going to get something. We can believe that we've already gotten it. And that can empower us to give that to other people. Let's go to Romans chapter 12, verse 10.
The verse in 1 Thessalonians says how it effectually worketh in us that believe.
Yeah.
When we believe it, it changes us from the end. That's transformation.
Yes. If we can find that, we should read it. We'll go there after the next couple of verses, but yeah, 1 Thessalonians 2:13 is the verse.
Yep.
We should read that. I should have included that verse. All right, Romans chapter 12, verse 10. All right, so be kindly. See that word kindly again? See, be kindly. It uses the same words. See that? Remember the word where Christ said He was kind to us, and now it's the same word that we should use to others. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love. Okay, so this is another verse telling us how we should treat. I guess, well, Joe is my new brother-in-law. I've never had a brother before, so. But he's showed me a lot of brotherly love, and I hope that I can show him the same. And that's the love that we're supposed to have to one another. And I'm probably, if I'm not very practiced at it, it's because, I don't know, I've had two sisters who haven't shown me much love. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. All right, Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. Colossians chapter 3, verse 12, and we'll read a couple of verses here. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. So there again, we see because of what Christ did for us, that's why we should do the same for other people. Okay? And these are much nicer things to be than what the world will make us to be. And it's, you know, the world can emulate some of these things, or it can mimic some of these qualities. But you will never have the true qualities accepting Christ and in His Word. Just imagine all the people out there who don't have these things in their life. But we can, and that's pretty cool that we can.
The atheist slogan at Christmas time is "Be good for goodness' sake."
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. They tried to steal some of the words, but
right.
So this is a picture of someone letting go of grudges. Okay, so you know, well, it's not a picture. You can't, you know what I'm talking about. It's grudges can really like weigh you down, and you know, doing these things will help you in your life, and. You will be like that person. You will be free. All right. Let's go to the verse that Karen pointed out. And what was it?
1 Thessalonians 2:13.
All right, 1 Thessalonians 2:13.
We can start at 12, just to give it context.
All right. So 1 Thessalonians 2:12, that you would walk worthy of God, who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. So these words right here are the words of God, and when you accept them as truth in your life, it will effectually work in you when you believe them. And it's just as simple as actually believing that this is the word of God and listening to what it says. It's not it's a matter of will and what you want more than a matter of capability, because we're all capable. But the will is a hard thing, because there's a lot of things that try to pull our wills in different directions. But it can effectually work in you when you believe it. Well, I don't think I'm going to get into the rest of it. It's about time to stop. So why don't we close in a word of prayer, and then we'll be done. Dear Lord, thank you for your word and the doctrine that we can renew our minds with when we believe it, so it can effectually work in us. to change us, and so that we, when we read about the things in this world, we can understand why they're happening, and we can not be conformed, but we can be transformed. Amen.
Thanks, Luke.
Thank you.